Today, the gospel comes from Matthew in the 15th chapter. Jesus called the crowd to him and said to them, "Listen and understand. It is not what goes into the mouth that defiles a person, but it is what comes out of the mouth that defiles." Then the disciples approached and said to him, "Do you know that the Pharisees took offense when they heard what you said?" He answered, "Every plant that my heavenly Father has not planted will be uprooted. Let them alone. They are blind guides of the blind, and if one blind person guides another, both will fall into the pit." But Peter said to him, "Explain this parable to us." Then he said, "Are you also without understanding? Do you not see that whatever goes into the mouth enters the stomach and goes out into the sewer? But what comes out of the mouth proceeds from the heart, and this is what defiles. For out of the heart comes evil intentions, murder, adultery, fornication, theft, false witness, slander. These are what defile a person, but to eat with unwashed hands does not defile." So Jesus left that place and went away to the district of Tyre and Sidon. Just then a Canaanite woman from the region came out and started shouting, "Have mercy on me, Lord, Son of David. My daughter is tormented by a demon." But he did not answer her at all. And his disciples came and urged him again, saying, "Send her away, for she keeps shouting after us, Jesus." And he answered, "I was sent only to the lost sheep of the house of Israel." But she came and she knelt before him, saying, "Lord, help me." And he answered, "It is not fair to take the children's food and throw it to the dogs." And she said back to him, "Yes, Lord, yet even the dogs eat the crumbs that fall from the master's table." And then Jesus answered her, "Woman, great is your faith. Let it be done for you as you wish." And her daughter was healed instantly. Today, you know, I hear about a Jesus I don't expect. In this gospel story, Jesus didn't answer the Canaanite woman at all. He walked away and ignored her. Plus, his disciples came and urged him and said, "Send her away, for she keeps shouting after us. Jesus, she keeps bothering us." You know, my brain gets stuck on Jesus walking away and the disciples sending someone away again who is wanting to interact with Jesus, just like the crowd of the 5,000 plus people who came to the hillside to learn from Jesus that day and then were fed with fish and 5 loaves of bread. The disciples seem to keep trying to put this protective ring around Jesus, yet Jesus keeps healing and teaching and feeding and encouraging and challenging faith. But what is interesting is that by Jesus and the disciples coming to this territory of Tyre and Sidon, which are both coastal cities in this Roman territory and historically centers of the Phoenician naval empire, which is a rival of Israel, Matthew's gospel listeners and the readers would have known that these cities conjured foreign and hostile territory. So this is a pivotal point for Jesus and his disciples to realize that, yes, they've moved into new territory, but what's most important is that it is Gentile territory. The scope of God's welcome and inclusion is breaking wide open, and we are even reminded of that when Jesus declares that it is not what goes into the mouth that defiles a person, but it is what comes out of the mouth that defiles. In this debate with some of the religious leaders earlier in this text in the gospel, Jesus doesn't condemn ritual purity practices outright, but instead strongly emphasizes the importance of the action and the purity of the heart. And this importance could cause some listeners to say, well, if it's the actions and purity of the heart that matter most, doesn't that put everyone on the same footing? In other words, doesn't Jesus' way of looking at things potentially open up the circle of salvation to all Gentiles as well as Jews? So that's what brings us into today's interaction. As Jesus and the disciples arrive in town, a local woman, the term Canaanite is used to point out that she's a Gentile and at the same time evokes that she is an ancient rival of Israel. She just walks up. She doesn't take it politely. She doesn't wait her turn. She doesn't make an appointment with Jesus. She shouts at Jesus using her voice so that they know that she matters. "Have mercy on me, Lord, Son of David. My daughter is tormented by a demon." Yet she seems to have chosen her words wisely. Now, I don't know about you, but when I'm frustrated or challenged or distressed, Choosing my words wisely doesn't always come as easily as possible. So what is important about these words? She has chosen to use her voice out loud and chosen these words wisely. Professor Mitzi Smith from Columbia Theological Seminary lays it all out for us about these words. The words have mercy demonstrate that the Canaanite woman's knowledge of Jesus' power and willingness to show grace on all when she approaches him. Like, you know, the 5,000 who fed with fish and bread and encouraged the disciples to continue having it out. The title Lord, by which she addresses Jesus, acknowledges him as a man in relation to her as a woman and demonstrates the respect for Jesus as a rabbi and teacher. The phrase on me reveals her as the purpose of the compassion that she seeks. Her request is a personal one. What impacts a child also affects the mother. And finally, the title Son of David is perhaps the Canaanite woman's way of acknowledging Jesus as her kin, as royalty, and as the Jewish Messiah, the anointed one. She strategically and clearly and succinctly confronts and informs Jesus of her problem. My daughter is tormented by a demon. She does not directly request healing for her child. She desires compassion, which she believes would take the form of healing. Now, what's interesting is that after the woman's voices her passionate message to Jesus, Jesus did not answer at all. Zip, nada, nothing. And to add salt to the wound, the disciples came to Jesus and once again want to send her away, for she keeps shouting after us, they say to Jesus. Yet, even in the midst of her voice not being heard, her being ignored by Jesus and the disciples wanting to get rid of her, the Canaanite woman does not give up. She wants Jesus to hear her consistent voice, her message of love and faith, and to realize that her voice and her message matter. Even though she is an outsider, a Gentile, and not from the house of Israel. Today, it is important for us to remember that consistent voices matter. Messages of love and faith matter. Voices of all people matter, whether they're women, our black community, our immigrants, our natural-born citizens, the elderly, the poor, the homeless, and the list goes on. This Tuesday, August 18th, is the 100th anniversary of the ratification of the 19th Amendment to the U.S. Constitution in 1920. Recognizing that women had the right to vote. The amendment's initial version was officially proposed in 1878 and in every congressional session since, and finally and narrowly passed both the House and Senate in 1919, whereupon it was sent to the states to be ratified. Most states in the South stood against the amendment, but on this date, on August 18th, 100 years ago, it was clear that if Tennessee passed it, it would ratify nationally. As the state legislation gathered to vote, the atmosphere was electric and the vote was tied 48-48. And I turned on a 24-year-old Harry Burns, the youngest legislator in the chamber. And he was widely expected to vote against the amendment. But his mother had written him a letter, which he carried that day in his pocket. And he pulled it out before he took the vote. Her voice, her note, it mattered. And before he voted, he read it. And Harry Burns voted in favor. This changed the United States forever and the voice for women into the future. So it breaks my heart and soul that today there are still many people fighting to use their voices. And they need to come before Jesus and take a knee before him to stop him in his tracks, to get his attention and to say, Lord, help me. You know, I've been one of them. I know the stories in my life and the stories out there. There are some tough things in our lives, in our world right now. There are people who are really angry in the world. They are struggling with isolation. There are people who just want this whole pandemic thing to be over. I've been on my knees in prayer asking Jesus, Lord, help me. Are you listening? Don't you get it? You know, I realize that when we are calling out with our voices to Jesus, we are pushing up against barriers. walls placed by other people, cultural norms, the calling to love our neighbor as ourselves, and other religious battles, ethnicity, and long-standing hostility between people. There seem to be so many barriers, so many people who are not willing to listen or even not willing to open the lines of communication. For today, we are reminded that this woman is a Canaanite, a Gentile, and Jesus, he is a Jew, and they should not be talking at all. Yet with her voice, she pleads again, and it's not just her second time. Lord, help me. She's been shouting. Finally, Jesus comes back at her, and it's in keeping with the old who's in and who's out hostility. It's not fair to take the children's food and throw it to the dogs. And then I think, now wait, come again. Did Jesus just call her a dog? But the woman uses her powerful, faithful words and throws it right back in Jesus's face and says, even the dogs gather the crumbs that fall from the master's table. She shows her strength and her faith in this verbal sparring match with Jesus by reminding Jesus that there is a lived abundant grace from God that is offered in this world. And she understands that God has promised it to all people right here and right now. That's why she's come to Jesus. Yet he has pushed her away and she keeps coming back, calling out to Jesus. I believe God used this Canaanite woman, this outsider, to draw Jesus out, to invite him to reimagine his mission in a wider perspective, to open his ears and his heart, to remember the importance of the action and purity of heart, to hear a different voice, a different story, the Canaanite woman's story, to hear faith from a different perspective. From this point forward, this gospel story opens things up. This Canaanite woman pivots history. Jesus comes to save not just Israel, but the whole world. So I give thanks for this consistent, determined, and deeply faithful woman who did not get her feelings hurt when Jesus brushed her off or did not take no for an answer when it came to the well-being of her daughter. She didn't take no for an answer. For in pressing her distraught case, she may just have taught the rabbi, the teacher, a working understanding of God's amazing grace, and that we are all the better for it. And maybe we need to think about who we shun off as well. Who do we treat as outsiders? To whom are we closed off? Those across the political aisle? Those in another part of town? Those who have done unspeakable wrongs? Those who belong to another religion or set of values, or I don't know, don't agree with what we say or what we do? In what ways do we too need to hear Jesus' challenging, liberating, reconciling words of the gospel? In what ways do we maybe need to be reminded that we may need to reimagine God's abundant, amazing grace? Our voices of faith are why this story matters to us today. This Canaanite woman unfolds to us that her voice mattered even to Jesus, and that her will, her power, her love, her passion for life was shown through her consistent faith, and it led to her daughter's healing. So how do we make our faithful voices matter each and every day in some challenging times, especially with our elections coming ahead in November, where every voice and vote matters for everyone? We can all use our collective voices with faith and grace and love and peace and take time to listen to one another. Remembering it's a two-way listening street, Jesus even had to learn that today, to change the world and bring healing and peace. Thanks be to God. Amen.